It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is on a very cloudy, damp Monday morning to start off the week. When I say I'm bringing the rain, I don't mean that I want to bring actual rain and flood everything. But that's what we're getting. You know, over the weekend, we didn't even hit, on one day, 70 degrees. Beginning of August, we had a high of 69. Hey, that's a fall day here. That's not, you know, an autumn day. You know, like the end of September, beginning of October, that's not a summer. That's not hot August summer day. It's not. It blew my mind. I mean, we came off all these days of really humid, hot. Hot, high 80s, low 90s weather temperatures. And then we get dumped into the lower 80s and then 69? I don't know where this weather is coming from, but this is the past almost a month now. We've just gone through this pattern of having so much rain. We are soaked. There are places that are starting to flood. And yesterday, folks, yesterday afternoon, I drive past the main firehouse. Do you know that the forest fire threat is still at moderate? I mean, we literally haven't had a full day of sun in probably a week and a half. It's been humid. It's been cool. It's been damp. It's been wet. We've had torrential downpours. We've had long soaks. We've had all the kind of rain you can have. And yet, the fire threat is still moderate. Well, when the hell is it going to be low? I'm just, somebody's not, well, maybe it's been raining too much, and the person in charge of the sign, because it's not a digital sign, they actually have to go out there and change it. So maybe it's been raining too much for them to go out there and actually change it. This is really weird stuff. Weather's really weird. And of course, people always ask me, why do you keep talking about the weather? Look, this gets recorded. I don't know how many times I got to explain it. This gets recorded. I have a near daily expose of the weather just to go ahead and prove to people how bad and stupid all of those wonderful idiots, you know, those eco-warriors and environmentalist wackos running around talking about global warming. Where's the global warming this year? I get it. You know, there are some places that are hot, but it is summer. And I love it when they say, oh, yeah, man, the desert's really hot this year. Well, it's the desert. It's hot every year. And every year we hear about, you know, the California, certain places in California. I don't know. Does Phoenix ever have brownouts because it gets hot? No, their power grid is built for it because they know that it gets hot in Phoenix and people are going to use air conditioning. But then you get out in Southern California and it gets a little bit warm and then they start to say, oh, we could have brownouts. The grid's being taxed. And, well, this happens every freaking year. It's the same thing around here. We had a few, you know, we had a heat wave earlier in July. And, you know, we had a little bit of a brownout there a few days. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, except for a couple of years ago, I think, well, last year maybe, we didn't have a single heat wave. But we typically do get heat waves, and we typically do get some mugginess around here. And yet every year it seems like, oh, the grid's taxed, you know, you may not be able to have enough power coming in because everybody's going to be using air conditioning. Well, you know this happens every year, right? And nobody's ever made an... You know what it is? Now, trust me, folks, on this. In my neck of the woods, the reason why we're still... Our grid is still the way it is because you have a couple of major power suppliers in this area that want to have this new power line coming down from Ontario, Canada, from a new dam. And nobody here in this state, I mean, literally nobody wants it. I mean, whenever you look at the polls around this place, it is high 70s, low 80s are against this thing. And even though it is what we thought was finally voted down and it's not happening, they're not done yet. They're not done trying to push this thing. You know, it's called the Northern Pass. They were going to put high tension lines going up, you know, splitting the White Mountains. I mean, seriously. They were going to put high tension lines going through the White Mountains, on top of the White Mountains, and just unbelievable. Who would even think of doing that? Not to mention all the trees you'd have to cut down and these big high tension power lines, ugly things as they are. And of course you'd get the ice storms that we get here every year. And some of those lines would come down. They always do. The ones that are up now, they always come down. And it's like they want to keep doing the same thing. Let me put it to you this way. In the Northeast, well, anywhere in the probably the northern half of the country, but especially here in the Northeast where we get these things called nor'easters, they're just terrible. They're terrible winter storms. You keep putting up power lines, and trees keep knocking on the power lines, knocking them down. Ice keeps, you know, getting on them and snapping telephone poles and power lines, and they keep putting that shit back up. Well, it's the same thing as you live in, I don't know, hurricane country, and you keep building all your office buildings and houses out of wood instead of stone or brick. It's you live in a flood zone and you keep building your house after you get flooded out for the fifth time in 10 years. You build your house right back where it got washed out last. That's the same damn thing. I mean, that's what it's like. It's a little bit more expensive and a little bit more time consuming, but we have definitely have the technology to bury a lot of this stuff, but nobody wants to do it. So in the end, we end up trying to save a few bucks. We end up spending more because we have to keep repairing the damn lines. It's infuriating, actually. I learned something the other day too about all this alternate energy power. Did you know that in many municipalities, if you want to put solar panels on your roof or in your yard, you know, power your house by solar power. Did you know you have to get you're in many communities, you have to get your utilities permission. I kid you not. No, that's a government regulation. It's not you get to dictate where you say, you call up the utility company and say, look, I'm putting up solar panels. You got to come out here and change, you know, the electric box so the meter can run forwards and backwards. No. You've got to call them up and ask their permission to come out to connect to the grid. So they ask them to put, and they can deny you. And did you also know that there is, in some communities, there's only a certain limit? You know, New York City is now looking at putting limits on the number of Uber drivers, Uber and Lyft. They're looking at capping it. Kind of like the taxi drivers. There's a cap on it. Well, in some communities, they actually put a cap on how many people can have solar panels or how much solar panel power can be produced. Can you believe this nonsense? We're on one hand, we've got all these wonderful enviro wackos out there telling you that we're going to die. We're going to die if we don't change. And we can't. And every time you turn around, you're being blocked. Some communities, you can't put up, you know, one of those, a little windmill. It's only powering, you know, your property. And some of these newer windmills or wind generators, some of these things are real small. They're real quiet. You know, not the big, giant ones. Just talking to one you put in your backyard. You can't do it. And there was somebody that sent me something a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it at all. But they sent me, and I said, I don't believe it, and they sent me a copy of the email. And I haven't really delved into it, but this just brings up a point. And I'm not going to name the state or community, but you already know that there are some states where it's illegal to collect rainwater when it comes off your roof. There are also communities in this country, evidently, where it is illegal to put in a geothermal heating and cooling system. There is no real reason not to allow that. And yet, when you go to some of these places and you wonder, well, who's making these rules and regulations that make it difficult or impossible for people to go, quote unquote, off grid? Most of these communities are run by Democrats. Now, I thought Democrats were all for the environment and all against big power, dirty power companies. Guess that's not true, huh? Love exposing hypocrisy here. Love exposing it. The Globe has just done the dirty, dirty. This is not what a free press does, by the way. This is not what our founders had envisioned. You know, the founders of this country, they envision the press and the people. Well, first of all, they envision the people to have the vast majority of the political power in this country. That's the way they designed the Constitution and our government, which is basically mimicked in all 50 states at the federal level. You know, all states, I don't know of any state that doesn't have basically a Senate and a House. You know, they may call them, you know, something different in various states, but the state legislator is really, and it's a mimic. You got the chief executive of the state, which is the governor. Then you've got two houses in their Congress or legislature, usually called the Senate and the House. You know, in some places they may call them different. And a lot of cities, municipalities are run similarly. You know, the mayor is the chief executive of the city. And you usually have two houses in the city legislature. You know, you have the city. Sometimes you just have a city council. But sometimes, you know, you got two sides. But every state has basically a Senate and a House of, you know, representatives, basically. And they've got the chief executive, the governor. The founders did all of that for a reason. Because they knew that the power of the government could become oppressive if the people didn't have the power to rule, regulate their representatives. And that's why they set all this stuff up, folks. The way they did. And then on the federal level, they wanted to make sure that the federal government didn't come in to overpower, stomp on not only the states, but the people, and thus gave us the Bill of Rights and wrote it all down in the Constitution. And they envisioned, because they thought it was so important, that freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of the individual person to say what was on their mind without government repercussions was so important. They made it number one. They put a lot of responsibility on the individual and, yes, the press. I am sure they did not envision the press themselves to become a fourth branch of a liberal government. And thus now trying to run and coordinate an active coup of a duly elected president. But this is exactly what's happening right now. The dirty war by the free press in this country has begun on Donald Trump in earnest and openly. Now, before that, you know, they would all say, "No, no, we're not coordinated. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything nasty. This president is just bad. We're not doing it." You know, it was all hidden. They tried to hide it, even though trust me, they knew that they weren't getting away with it. People weren't believing him. They could look at the ratings and tell that people were not believing him. But look, they just said, "Hey, look, you know, we're just trying to do our job here, and this president is so bad that we don't have much nice to say about him." Now they're not saying that. Now they're saying we need a coordinated effort. Why? Because you, the American people, are using your freedom of expression by supporting Donald Trump. And as a matter of fact, the reason why the press is now going off the openly going off the deep end is because of the last couple of polls. Now, folks, the press in this country is overwhelmingly members of the Democrat Party. Overwhelmingly. And when you see real, actual, factual poll numbers, I'm not talking about the made-up ones, but even the real poll numbers that show Donald Trump at 28, 29% black approval. I mean, are you kidding me? After 2 years, over 2 years of labeling this man a racist, after saying that he was evil, didn't care about black people or Latinos, was derogatory towards them, never did anything good or nice for them, he's doing everything in his power to harm them, to end up going from 8% on election of support on election night to 29% today, less than 2 years later, it means people are not buying what the press has to say. When overwhelming, you get study after study after study, and I haven't seen a study yet where it says that negative coverage of the president is below 93% of the time, of all the coverage on him. So you've got a president that has, presidents have never seen such negative coverage since Nixon in Watergate. 93% plus. All day, every day, 24/7, 365. And this man still hits 50% even in these suppressed polls? Now, is there any wonder why the media is going nutso? Because you're not paying attention to them. You're not listening. You're turning them off. New York Times and a bunch of other newspapers just like them have seen their subscription rates plummet ridiculously low. I mean, New York, how many reporters has the New York Times laid off? Remember, folks, I gave you the staggering statistic. In the newsprint media, over the last 10 years, they've lost 23% of their staffing. A bulk of that has come in the last 2 years. When the rest of the economy is going gangbusters, in the rest of the economy, we have more jobs than qualified applicants. In the rest of the economy, we're quickly approaching statistical full employment. In the rest of the economy that is doing so well and people are actually getting real wages and there's no inflation, in the media, it's the absolute opposite. And now they want to coordinate with each other. And they're going to run editorials. Not news, by the way. They didn't say news. They said editorials. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. I know a lot of people don't know that reference. But see, a long time ago, before the 1900s, there was a little girl around Christmas time. She wrote to the New York Times, and the New York Times answered her in an editorial. She said, I asked my daddy if Santa Claus was real, if there was really a Santa Claus. And my daddy said I should write to the New York Times. I'm not paraphrasing, but this is what she said. Because if it's in the newspaper, my daddy says it has to be true. Because he said the newspaper does not lie. Now, everybody at the New York Times, the editorial staff, thought this was a wonderful question by a wonderful little girl. And an editor responded saying a number of different things about the goodness of man and what's in men's heart, and then concluding, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. What they were saying, yes, Virginia, your daddy's right. We do not lie. In the media, in the press. We strive to tell, to uncover and tell all of the truth. So yes, Virginia, there's a Santa Claus. Today, that editorial would read, hell no, Virginia. There ain't no damn Santa Claus unless it's coming from the government. The government's going to be your Santa Claus. You hear? Your daddy was wrong, man. You know, and as a matter of fact, we're going to send child services over to your house because your daddy is probably doing something to you. We're going to take you out of the home. You shouldn't even be asking this question, Virginia. You haven't been indoctrinated well enough. Do you see the difference? So now we have a press that is supposed to be the watchdog of our government for us, as established by our founders, who knew the importance of an honest and sincere press. They made no mention of how to handle a press that goes rogue, because they never thought it could ever get this bad. They thought competition would keep everybody honest, but now they're all colluding with one another. Folks, we have an open conspiracy in the so-called Fourth Estate, and they're committing a verbal coup, attempting a verbal coup on this president. All because you, the American people, do not buy their bullshit. They're freaking out. Now, these people are tireless. But you got to wonder if the American people have finally had enough where they also become tireless. Or is this going to wear them down? Is it going to wear us down? I don't know. I hope not. Doesn't seem like that will happen now, but you never know. These people are relentless, and now they're not even afraid of you anymore. Maybe it's time you really put them on notice, and we really start forcing their ratings down and their newspaper subscriptions down. And those newspapers that do not, and publications that do not participate in this shameful act. Maybe it's time you get subscriptions to them instead. Just saying.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Talent to write a good riff of Spanish guitar. There's something about the Spanish guitar that is just absolutely mesmerizing. Not gonna lie. No, I like all kinds of music. Not every kind of music out there. Let's be honest. But and I understand that the mood that certain kinds of music presents. And you know, you get Spanish guitar music, and you can't help but, you know, dance in a certain way and feel a certain way. It's kind of romantic, actually. It's just, it's good stuff. It really is. And it takes talent to play. It's not easy playing a Spanish guitar. Just like it's not easy playing the jazz guitar well. It's very difficult. Something that takes an effort, a concerted effort to learn it and to play it well. Now, though, there are prodigies that seem to pick it up pretty damn early. But there's an inflection, you know, blues guitar, there's just an inflection in it. It takes feeling, and it's difficult to simulate that feeling when you don't have any life experience. If you've never experienced being in love and then having your heart broken, it's nearly impossible to let that resonate in music. And there are some kids out there that are, you know, that we've seen a couple of prodigies over the years, but they're not. There's a difference. They can play it, but it's not genuine, and you can actually hear it. They can emulate. They can be taught to play it, and they can emulate what they hear somebody else playing, but they cannot put their own inflection in it, and it becomes. You know, you can listen to them and say, "Anybody remember that blues artist? I think he was like 12 years old." You know, even the likes of B.B. King and people were, you know, wanted this kid to play with him. But his critics, they were dead on. They said he was technically beautiful. He was technically a genius. But his music had no feeling. Well, he didn't have it. It didn't have the feeling because he was only 12. But this is what I mean when it's a good Spanish guitar riff. It has feeling and emotion in it that kind of almost forces you to feel something. And good music, when it's genuine, it does that. I mean, the old, what we call the classic masters, you know, Bach, Beethoven, they all had that ability to actually make you feel what they were feeling in the music. And there are people today, there are some pop music stars. Now, pop music today is mostly, you know, it's mostly vapid. It's mostly corporate. There's nothing in it. Even when you get to rap, there's not a lot of truth in it. You know, you get all these, you know, rappers, kind of like football stars. They're talking about how hard life is. And then they go home. They're not going home to the, you know, to the ghetto. They're going home to their gated, you know, 5,000, 10,000 square foot multi-million dollar mansion with a garage loaded full of ridiculously expensive vehicles. And their posse. They've forgotten what the hard life is like. You know, they run around buying, you know, a full bottle of, you know, $500, $600 Patron. And that's not the only bottle they buy when they go out. So, I mean, it's just what they're actually rapping about, they're taking out of the news. They're not experiencing any of it anymore. You know, it's the phoniness of it all. And people are starting to pick up on this stuff. They're starting to say, wait a minute, there's not any really truth in the feeling behind your music. You know, the words and the music, it's great. You know, it's put together nicely. It's you know, it's beautiful. It's in some cases, it sounds like you're a musical genius, but it's fake. It's fake. There is no real Motown anymore. You listen to the Motown sound from the 60s and early 70s. That ain't fake, folks. People still listen to that today, even young people, and go and say, yeah, you know, these groups back then, Motown was my inspiration in being a musician. Because that stuff was real. It almost forced you into an emotional response. Today, all the music is about is, you know, especially when it comes to pop music, it's all about being able to move your feet. And you can't even, and most people can't even today. You ever watch millennials try to dance? I mean, my God. And they all dance alike. And I'm not talking about doing certain, because, you know, remember back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, everybody, you know, they did all the group dances and line dances. So everybody danced alike. But people could, you know, at least they had some sense of rhythm. Even poor white people who couldn't dance, at least they had a modicum of rhythm. Today they all dance alike. They're not doing line dances, but they still dance alike, and there's no rhythm or rhyme nor reason to their body movements with the music whatsoever. It's the same damn step to every different song, no matter what the cadence of the song is. It's hilarious to watch. Trust me, I've worked in nightclubs. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm you know, watching these people out there on the floor. They're having a good time, and that's great. But I'm listening to the music and looking into the crowd, and there is no coordination between the music and the crowd. And it's hilarious to see. But a lot of this music today is fake. There isn't any real meaningful meaning or emotion behind it. It's just put together to sell records or to sell EPs or to sell downloads. That's all it is. And you ask, you know, there are sometimes when I'm listening, I see younger people there, oh, I love this song. Really, what do you like about it? What do you love about it? Well, I don't know. It's just catchy. That's it? It doesn't have an emotion for you, emotional response. It's just catchy. I admit there are songs that I like that because they're simply because they're catchy. But you got to wonder, is there anything deeper than that? Usually, no. Now, folks, music also resonates in your entire life, not just in one portion of it. And so when you ask somebody, when you ask somebody a serious question and they cannot answer you, it's because there is nothing underneath it there. There's nothing there. There's nothing real. So why is Trump a racist? They can't answer you because there's nothing real there. But everybody is so conditioned to just take what's on the surface. It's catchy. Trump's a racist is catchy. There's no meaning behind it. Zero. It's all fake. I want to post a link to this Pablo song. So when I hear this Pablo Neptuno song, it kind of emoted a response to make me say, what is this? Because, you know, he's not from Motown, obviously. He's a young artist. He's not of the 60s. But there was something real in that particular song, in that guitar riff. There was something real that I heard in the other two songs I listened to by this guy. The lyrics suck. I'm going to tell you, the lyrics suck. But there was something real about the music. It wasn't catchy. But it makes us all ask, well, what else isn't real? What else is, quote-unquote, just catchy? There's a lot out there, folks. There's very little that's real anymore. And when I mean real, there's got to be something more than just something on the surface. Something that sounds good. We can't even go to our press and get stuff that isn't catchy. It's all catchy. It's all buzzwords. They're all using the same damn lines and same damn words at the same damn time. It's hard to find something real. And that is the main reason, the biggest reason so many people like Donald Trump. He was not political. He was not and is not a polished politician. He tells it like he believes it really is. He's real. He's very, very deep when it comes to that. He's real. And people are tired of the catchy politician. Do folks realize, you know, you Cruz supporters out there. Now, I've always said that there was something about Cruz I couldn't put my finger on that I did not like. And that was his problem. A lot of people felt the same way. I finally realized what it is. Ted Cruz, I've always said he's a polished politician. Yeah, maybe he's a conservative, but he's a very polished politician. There's nothing real below the surface of Ted Cruz. That was his problem. He did not come across and appear to be genuine. His answers, doesn't matter where he was or what he was doing, he was always overly rehearsed and polished. Even when he was, you know, just supposed to be off the cuff having a good time, he came across as being this overly polished person. He wasn't real. And there were a lot of people that had a problem with that. They didn't look at his record. Now, I get it. You know, you supporters of Cruz, you know, you talk about his record. It's a great conservative record. Not denying it. I like his record. But I'm telling you, it's because he didn't come across as real and genuine. Trump did. And that's why his popularity keeps increasing. Because the man is real, and people are seeing it with their own eyes. They're feeling it in their back pockets, in their pocketbooks, in their wallets. They're seeing the realness of this guy. They're feeling it. It's not just surface. While everybody else on the left continues to be and tries to promote fakery, even within their own fake news, New York Times has a story. There's a new flourishing business out there. It's called fake YouTube views. Now, remember, we already know about Hillary Clinton. At one point, half of her followers on Twitter were bots. They were fake. She claimed to have, like, you know, 20 million followers, and half of them, nearly half of them, over 9 million of them were fake. Well, now the New York Times has got a story about this. Believe it or not. Flourishing business of fake YouTube views. YouTube plays can be bought for pennies and delivered in bulk, inflating video popularity and making this social media giant vulnerable to manipulation. It's already being manipulated. Not vulnerable, it is being manipulated. Now, I've always questioned this. I see some video on YouTube and I'm thinking, this is a dumbass video. And I look at it, and it's got a million views. I'm thinking, how? And the reason why I'm watching it is because it appears on my recommended viewing list. And it only gets there if a bunch of other people view it too. Well, nobody's actually viewing it. These guys are getting smart, and they're buying views. So they're not real. There's nothing there. It's fake. It's a lie. Now, it's hard to tell, according to the New York Times, it's becoming harder to tell which are real views and which are not. Because it's that easy to simulate a real person. I guess that's why Twitter has such a hard time figuring out who's a bot and who's not. You think that they'd be able to figure it out by now, but you know, because you know there are third parties out there that seem to be able to figure it out. And by the way, some of the third parties, I understand, if you've seen some of the stories, Twitter has shut down a lot of third-party access to Twitter. I mean, there's still a lot out there, but they've clamped down on a lot of this stuff because they claim it fosters bots. Well, one of those was a third-party outfit that actually told you how many bots you had following you. So why would Twitter get rid of a company that exposes bots? Maybe they were too damn accurate with it. And it didn't allow Twitter to manipulate anything. You know, Jack Dorsey is not a very nice man. There are people close to him that have said that about him. He's a jerk. That's what I hear. I don't know him. I've never met him personally, so I can't say. I can only go by how he runs Twitter. And by the way, speaking of which, evidently, when it comes to Alex Jones, and, you know, Alex Jones is fake news, right? He perpetrates any fake news, and he puts it out there and promotes it. He's all fake news. So evidently, when it came to removing InfoWars from a lot of these platforms, the CEOs were made the final decision. Tim Cook at Apple made the decision. This is what's being reported. Mark Zuckerberg made the decision on Facebook. Evidently, the clampdown on InfoWars and Alex Jones and all his minions over there on Twitter, the word came down from Jack Dorsey. So now these people don't usually determine who's on their network and who's not. They have entire departments within their companies that figure this stuff out. They don't make that decision. But yet evidently they've made the decision. Now, I don't know what's happening over at Google and what Google's going to do about all the fake views. Now think about it. You can promote a video by fake views. Now what if it's a fake video? A fake news video. Well, you just, you know, if you're CNN, you just go out and for a couple hundred bucks, you buy a million views. And then what is that going to do? Well, that puts that video in a lot of people's recommended viewing list. Every time they log on to YouTube, or it's in that list, you know, view next list. That's on the side or below the video. Yeah, you know, up next, if you know, up next or what you should watch next, it appears there. Now, the way Americans are, well, actually, not just Americans, but the world, the way the world is, you know, we often look at something that looks like it's highly recommended because everybody else has seen it. So God forbid we don't. We watch it. And a lot of times we think, well, what did I just watch and why? Well, everybody watched it, so it has to be good. So my opinion of it being bad has got to be wrong because everybody's watching it. And they accept it. But they accept it based on fakery. And everybody seems to like fake stuff now. I mean, again, this is why Trump's support keeps going up, because people are getting tired of fake. They want something real again. And I'm here to tell you, I think that the big music industry is headed for a big hurt. Because they keep putting forth all this fake kind of music, this catchy stuff, and people are going to get sick of it if they aren't already. They want something real. So they want something really real. And whether or not you believe Alex Jones is a conspiracy theory nut job, or if you think he's onto something real, you know that he seems to be genuine. At least his programs are, and the people that work for him seem to be genuine. People feel the realness. And when the fake social media system brings the hammer down on them because they think that by doing so that they're going to shut him up. Guess what? Alex Jones has got something for you. And it's not a wonderful massage. But according to the My Statesman out of Texas, they're reporting that the bans don't seem to be lessening the reach of Alex Jones or his InfoWars, as a matter of fact. His numbers, according to various tracking systems online, show that his website and videos that are still up are getting more views and more hits. Now, is Jones buying fake views? Well, evidently, that only works for YouTube. Well, he's banned on Facebook, so he's not getting anything new there. You know, Twitter's put a clamp on him a number of times, so he's not getting, you know, necessarily a bunch of new views from there. But the media has been the biggest advertisement for Alex Jones. He could not buy this kind of advertisement. He could not buy this number of fake views or fake follows. He just couldn't do it. The media has done the job for him. And his website is blowing up. Just saying. I think it's funny. You get a bunch of fake people out there claiming that somebody else is fake when he's sincerely genuine about his own beliefs. I mean, dude, say what you will about his conspiracy theories. You know, you can laugh at him and think, you're a nut. He's genuine about him. And even if people don't believe him, they just like to watch somebody that something they like to listen to or watch something real. Even in this day and age, when we have so-called reality TV that isn't very real, there's a lot of it that's scripted. Even after that secret was leaked out and was proven, they still do it. Yeah, and believe it or not, they're still some of the biggest ranking or rated shows on TV. Like, I still don't understand how the hell the Kardashians have a TV program. I really don't. But people are getting sick of the fakery, especially when it comes to their own lives and somebody else who's going to be able to affect their life. They want somebody real. And frankly, that was Donald Trump came along at the right time. He was real. People saw it. They believed it. They liked it. And more people are realizing it and liking it too. Yet they're getting tired of the fake news, and the fake news keeps getting even more fake.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.